As I said at the beginning of Mass today, we are celebrating not only the fourth Sunday of Easter, but the fourth Sunday of Easter is known as the Good Shepherd Sunday, on which the Universal Church celebrates the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And we just finished at the Carmelite Monastery. We had 40 hours of adoration there, the Carmelite Monastery on Lincoln Avenue. If you've never been there, check out that in the church, the little chapel, and it's probably one of the most beautiful churches we have in our diocese. And that's not hard to beat, but it's one of the most beautiful churches we do have. And anyway, we had 40 hours of adoration. And this for vocations to the religious life, to the priesthood, and to the consecrated life. And what a beautiful thing to do. And we just ended it with Bishop Daly. He celebrated the Mass, and we did a Eucharistic procession. And it was a beautiful way of ending the day of praying for vocations. So this day, what I want to hear is to help people to understand, because what we're going through this whole week, like this Monday, it was probably one of the worst Mondays we've ever had, and because of not only the bombings that took place over there and in Boston, and the marathon, and then lives that were taken, innocent lives that were taken and injured due to the terrorist act, and then also over in Texas with the explosion of that fertilizer plant and the loss of many lives there, and also. On Monday, we had a loss of a dear principal that we had here at St. Lucie's, Jennifer Martin, who passed away unexpectedly. And, you know, she wasn't even older than me. I mean, she was older than I am, but a couple of years older than I am. And I can imagine, you know, her children, her husband are suffering much from this loss. And they're in a state of shock at this moment. So I just want to ask you to please pray for them as well. And also Father Mark Catalana. He also got into a bike. I don't know if you know Father Mark Catalana. He's over at St. Thomas Canterbury, and he was here at St. Lucie's many years ago. And he was the vocation director, as I am the vocation director now. I took his place. But Father Mark, was in a bike accident. A car had clipped him, and so he had surgery. And he is doing better, but he's still in pain. So please keep him in your prayers. Well, I would like to continue on with this here, not to have all these dramatic incidences, but, you know, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. And we come together because even though we have these tragedies, we know that we have God within us. We have God who is with us. And we know that there is hope in these moments of tragedies and difficulties in life. So I'd like to share with you a little story about the shepherd. Talking about the Good Shepherd is Jesus Christ, who loves us so much. And there was a banquet that was given in London to some very prominent people from all over the world. And as a part of the main venue, one of England's most celebrated Shakespearean actor was to perform for them. He spoke eloquently and powerfully as he brilliantly recited famous passages from the writings of William Shakespeare. And the guests clapped and cheered and called for an encore. Then the actor, to oblige his eager crowd, said, "If anyone has a favorite Shakespearean passage, and if I know it, I would be happy to recite it." Some asked for the soliloquies of Macbeth, others the balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet. But from the back of the room, from the back of the banquet hall, an elderly gentleman with his hands raised was called upon. He was a priest. "Sir," the priest said, "I realize it's not Shakespeare, but I was wondering if you would recite for us the 23rd Psalm." The actor smiled and he said, "Father, I'd be happy to recite the Psalm on just one condition. And that is, when I am finished, you too will recite the Psalm for us tonight." So the priest was a bit taken back and embarrassed, but finally he agreed to do so. Then the actor began to recite the psalm with his powerful and eloquent voice. "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." And when he had finished, the audience rose to their feet in ovation. And after the guests had settled down, the actor said to the old priest, "Father, it is now your turn." And the priest stood up and he took a deep breath. A look of vivid recollection came over his face. Then, in a voice that was gentle and deep, he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." When the priest was finished, not a sound could be heard in the banquet hall. A profound silence had descended upon all the people at the hall. The guests were overcome and overstruck with amazement. And the actor was perplexed. And he wondered why the priest's gentle words had touched so many people so deeply. Seizing the moment, the actor said, "My friends, do you realize what you have witnessed here tonight? And why his recital of the psalm was so much more powerful than my own? And the difference is this. I know the psalm, but Father, he knows the shepherd." So it's something important for us to really realize that the difference between understanding, knowing something, and getting to know the person. I could have the Bible memorized, but not really understand what I memorized, what I'm living, and living out the Bible, the true gospel message. So we need to get to know the shepherd, to seek out his plan for our life, for our happiness, and allow him to lead us, guide us, and guide us as companions, be our friend, our coach, our mentor. And he will lead us to green pastures. He will restore our souls. So this is the difference between knowing about Jesus and allowing Jesus to become an intimate, transforming part of our life. And when we do this, we're better able to hear his voice within, that gentle voice, the gentle whisper of our vocation, the calling that Jesus is asking us to do, the life that he wants of us. And many times when we hear that word vocation, our minds automatically think of the priesthood or religious life or nuns. But vocation in reality is a calling from God. It's a calling from God to fulfill the purpose of why he had created each and every one of us. Because as we know, we should know this, that God didn't create any of us as an accident. God created us for a special purpose and meaning in life. And our life and our whole life journey is to discover what that purpose is and to live out that purpose. And that purpose is generally called a vocation or a call in life. And this call is not so much what we want to do ourselves, but this call is actually doing what God wants us to do, giving up our will for God's will. And our prayer should be always to God. Every day we should ask God, "God, what is it that you want of me? Not what I want of you, God, but what is it that you want of me?" So as we saw in the first reading, or we heard in the first reading with Saul, he's no longer Saul, but he's now Paul, St. Paul, and Barnabas. They were going out and they were bringing this good news to the world, no matter how difficult it was for them, how they were persecuted. And yet they were joyful in their persecution. They were joyful because they knew that they were bringing to the Gentiles this great word of God, this great gift of eternal life, of eternal salvation. And they're bringing this paschal mystery of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this meaning to life. And many people are embracing it. But other people who did not want to hear the word, did not want to hear the voice of the Lord, were rejecting it and persecuted them. So they struggled in their own vocation. But imagine if St. Paul and Barnabas, that they did not answer this call. Imagine if they did not answer this call that God has called them to, lived out their vocation. Imagine what would have happened to them. Imagine if the 12 apostles did not answer the call of Jesus Christ and they said selfishly no to God, no to Jesus, no to that call to their vocation as apostles, the world would be a different place than it is today. And I know that there are many young men and women out there in the world today who are either deafened to the voice of Jesus Christ or they're deafened to that truth, the divine truth, that divine love. And that's what happens. Many of these young men and women today are not listening to God. They're not listening to that voice. Or if they did hear that voice, they have somebody that's going to try to rationalize away why God is calling them to the priesthood or to the religious life. And that's what often happens. And I've heard so many times after these couples, you know, they get married, and then the one of the two would always come up to me and said, oh, geez, I should have gone into the priesthood. Or, geez, I should have gone into the religious life. Why didn't I do that? Not everyone, okay? Not everyone. But that's the thing is, a lot of the times they have that regret after the fact. And the most important thing is to give God that first chance to see if you're a young man or woman, to see if God is calling you to the priesthood or to the religious life. Give God that first chance. And I like to, we'll kind of end with this part here. It's an excerpt from this book about the priesthood. And it's called To Save 1,000 Souls. And I have about 15 young men that are discerning their vocation. Will they all go in? No. I wish they would, but they wouldn't. And it's not that I want just numbers. I would love to have men that go into the priesthood convinced about their priesthood, convinced that God is calling them. But you can't do that unless you try to do the discerning process. So it's a book called To Save 1,000 Souls, and it's a part that says this is just what priests do. So in this chapter here, and I'm going to read from it, after hearing confession from a young college student whose last confession was 3 years ago, she said to me, I am sick and tired of sin. I'm not happy, and I want Jesus back in my life. So after the confession, she had clearly experienced the grace and mercy of Jesus' love through that confession. And she said to the priest, thank you. I now feel wonderful and clean. I feel like a burden was lifted off my shoulder. So I said to her, you're welcome. This is just what priests do. And besides, it's Jesus you should thank and not me. Jesus was the one who gave you the absolution. He's the one who forgave your sins. And she looked at me and said, Father, I know that is true, and I love Jesus. But right now, I can't see him. I just see you. She then paused for a moment and said, Father, if this is just what priests do, it must be awesome to be a priest. So what happens? Sometimes we priests have to give ourselves a little boost also because we get bashed all the time, okay? But it is nice to be, you know, feel this thing. But it is nice to learn these things again. Know that this great gift of the priesthood, this ontological change that we have within the priest. Sorry if I use that word ontological. It means a change of essence within when the bishop has prayed over us and we've received the sacrament of ordination. Because when I say this ontological change is when the priest is saying, I absolve you from your sins, it's not the priest doing it, it's Jesus Christ working through the priest. When the priest is consecrating the Eucharist up there on the altar, it is no longer the priest, but Jesus Christ working through the priest. And so when the priest is baptizing, saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's not the priest, it's Jesus Christ baptizing. So that's what we have to understand. In this broken instrument, it is Jesus Christ working through us. So many people don't know what priests do. They think that, what do we do after? What do priests do after Sunday, right? Is that a question out there? What do we do after Sunday? That's what the question is. Many youth and kids would ask us, what do you guys do? Do you read the Bible all week long? Do you play golf? What do you do all week long? And so the thing is that we're so busy. I couldn't imagine that they would ask that question. So the purpose of a priest, first of all, is to bring people to Jesus and Jesus to people. So how does a priest do this? And I'm not going to give you an exhaustive thing here, but the priest brings Jesus to the people and people to Jesus. The priest prays with and for the people of God. Priests must be men of God. Priests preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We evangelize, we bring this good news to others, as the apostles did, and we continue on this apostolic succession. Priests celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Priests feed the people of God with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Priests prepare couples for baptism, and they bring their children in. They prepare the couples, the parents, who are going to raise the child up in the faith for the baptism. Priests prepare couples for marriage and witness their marriage. Priests visit the sick and administer anointing to the sick. Priests preside over funerals and counsel those who have lost loved ones. Priests counsel and guide those who are suffering. Priests spend many, many hours in the confessional, hearing many people's difficulties, their sins, and then gives absolution and gives them that great gift of divine mercy. What do priests do? We're here for you. And I remember at my ordination, somebody gave me one of these gifts for my ordination that I still have and I always keep on my desk or nearby my desk. And it's that of Jesus washing Peter's feet. We are there to serve and not to be served. We're there to give Christ to others. So I'd like to end with this, what Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI wrote. The faithful expect only one thing from priests, that they be specialists in promoting the encounter between God and man. The priest is not asked to be an expert in economics. A priest is not asked to be an expert in constructions or in politics. He's expected to be an expert in the spiritual life. So let's take a moment now and just reflect today as we receive Jesus in the Eucharist and to live out the call, our vocation that you've already have if you're married already, and if you felt the call to the priesthood or to the religious life, please give God the first chance and find out if he is truly calling you, if that is your way. And let us continue to pray for vocations in the priesthood and the religious life and the consecrated life.